This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, as always from the patio studios and brought to you by our good friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. A shout out to my man, Randy Green, and all the gang over there and all the great arms underneath that umbrella in case you need them for residential, commercial, or industrial services, heating and cooling, electric, plumbing, or construction. Randy Green, your man. 35 years experience. He's a second-generation craftsman and, more importantly, a man of his word. Get them involved early in the process. InnovativeCompanies.com is the only name you need to know and trust. Well, exciting baseball happening around us. Things happening. And again, we're enjoying watching. Cardinal fans everywhere. Obviously not happy that we're not in the mix, but, you know, a little bit of feeling good that the Cubbies lose. I mean, everybody is going to want to say, if it's not us, it better not be them type thing. And I get that, and it's fun, and that's what this is supposed to be. So, hey, okay. But that being said, it's time really to start taking a look at some things. We're going to address a couple of things that I know are going around, people asking questions about players and things like that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But to get involved in the conversation early, often, and really more than me, let's invite in the real talent on the M4byYachty.com hotline, Mr. Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
What's going on? What's going on, guys? Well, yes, let's get this rolling here.
Before we start looking ahead, because really that's, I guess that's where we're at now. I want to touch on, Twitter is going crazy. And again, I like to go crazy on it in a great way. I'm happy for the guy. And that's, why did we trade Luke Voit? Why this? Why that?
And come on, man.
Yeah. And,
really?
And, and the thing is this. I saw some guys tweet out some things that I thought were very level-headed on the Luke Voit thing, and that was this. He wasn't going to get that opportunity here. Just be happy he got traded somewhere and got an opportunity. This happens in other organizations. And, again, let's be quite honest and say this while – I'm happy for him. I mean, we're talking about a very small sample size. And again, lots of players have small sample sizes that are really, really good, but they're not sustainable. If you're asking me as a human being and as a person, I hope this guy has a Hall of Fame career. Okay? And if
it, do you guys think that Piscotty was going to hit 27 home runs here in St. Louis?
I don't think any. I mean, there are some people that love Stephen Piscotty. They absolutely were not happy when he was traded.
I love him. I'm not saying that I don't love him. I'm just asking, who out there thought that he was going to hit 27 homers in St. Louis? Anywhere else. In St. Louis. Nobody thought that he was going to get 25 homers here or 30 homers, whatever. He had a great season. Be happy for Steven. Be happy that he got to spend his days that his mom, close to his mom when she was dying. That was the main reason of the trade was. Plus, here, he didn't play good. Maybe because his mom. Maybe because he wanted to be closer to mom and mom was struggling. Yes, But just be happy for the guy. But don't start giving me that crap, Jimbo. I mean, the fans like saying, oh, we shouldn't trade it for Luke Voit. Yeah, did Luke Voit look very good to you to keep him when he was here? Did he look really good to you that you could say keep him? No, he didn't look that good. Obviously, he needed more time. He needed to play. But it didn't look good to me when he was here. He did good in AAA, but when he came up, he didn't look good. When he goes to the Yankees, obviously, it's another team that has bombers around him. Nobody's thinking about Luke Voit when you have Aaron Judge, when you have Stanton, when you have Gary Sanchez, when you have Didi Gregorius around you. Nobody's thinking about Luke Voit, so it's a lot easier to play over there and hit. Plus, the stadium is a hitting ballpark, a hitting stadium that the hitters love to hit there. It makes a difference, guys. But don't start saying this. I mean, that's just, I mean, it gets in my, I mean, I don't know, man. I just hate it. I don't like when people say all that stuff after they're gone. Oh, yeah, yeah. Why don't they say about Grichuk? Why? Seriously, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, and again, when a player gets traded, whether he is traded because he was good here, bad here, because we were trading from depth, whatever, there's a variety of reasons why trades are done. Now, if you want to have a conversation about the way the roster that we currently have is constructed and that certain guys are taking up or clogging it up or doing whatever, we can absolutely have a conversation about that. The fact of the matter was Luke Voit was not going to play here. He just wasn't. And, you know, you can say, well, that's dumb, or you can say whatever, but that's just burying your head in the sand and saying, I guess we're not going to talk about the way it's – I mean, it just is what it is. I'm just going to be happy for the guy that he's getting an opportunity. I hope he makes the most of this opportunity. I hope it works out in the long term for him. Again, these so-called experts, quote-unquote experts, you know, would say that they don't see this him being this type of a long-term player in the major leagues. Now, I promise you this. If you ask Luke Voit, he's going to disagree with him and say, this is absolutely who I am and I'm here to stay. And that's how it should be, because that's what it's all about. But teams have to work on a roster. They have to construct their roster. I mean, you have a guy here signed in Matt Carpenter. You had a guy here that's done nothing but hit for you in Jose Martinez. I mean, you already have too many first basemen. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, when a young guy gets traded to another team and does well, why do you think it happens that way? Well, it happens for a variety of reasons. Either one, a young player, and typically it's a young player that's a really high prospect, gets traded, and then you get something back that helps you in an area where you need it. You also have guys that are traded because you start running out of roster spots. I mean, you can only, the way the league is set up, and it is kind of set up to afford guys opportunities, you can only have so many guys on the 40-man. And sooner or later, it's going to be an issue. Look at next year. I mean, they've already gotten rid of some guys on the 40-man, and then they have guys that you would have to believe are going to be on the 40-man next year. Ryan Helsley comes to mind. Okay, so there are, I mean, the roster management, we don't ever really pay too much attention to the job that they do behind the scenes of trying to, and let's face it, trying to project who's going to be who. Now, again, if you want to have a conversation that they should have cut bait with this guy or this guy and kept Luke Voit, we can have that. But, I mean, at the time, I find that hard to believe that most people were ready to do that. Now, there's a faction of fans out there, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a fan of Luke Voit. There's nothing wrong with not being a fan of another guy. You do what you want to do. It's just not as easy as a decision. And, again, this thing falls into the category, like I've always said. It's really, really easy to have hindsight and look at these things and say, well, that did. I mean, do you think the Yankees knew what they were getting rid of when they got rid of Willie McGee? I mean, Willie McGee was what he was. They traded him because they had a need, and then Willie McGee goes on to have a nice career. Well, of course, everybody says, well, the Yankees are idiots. Everybody says the Cubs were idiots because they traded a Slew Brock. I mean, you know, Boston was ignorant because they sold Babe Ruth. Listen, all this stuff is hindsight, but how many of these guys, you have to stop and ask yourself, For every guy that gets traded somewhere and has a good run, whether it be, and let's face it, I hope it's his whole career for Luke Voit, because he seems like a great guy. He's a quote, you know, he's kind of a local guy. Oh no, he is a local guy, so everybody loves that, right? Okay, so I hope he has a great career. But for every Luke Voit, how many guys out there are traded and then you never hear about them again? I mean, it's endless. It happens all the time. So let's just be happy that this is a great story involving a local kid, and he's out there on a big stage right now, and I say go get him. But I'm not going to sit here and hack on the Cardinals because they got rid of Luke Voit. I just think it's silly.
Oh, my gosh. That is, I mean, it's not even worth talking about it. I don't even want to comment on it. Tell you the truth.
Well,
seriously,
I hear you.
What am I going to?
Listen, I know what you're. I know where you're at. I know you want to touch on your friend, a guy that you have a lot of respect for. You know, is no longer coaching in Anaheim. I know you had a lot of respect for Mike Socia. You know, I know you'd probably like to just briefly mention what type of guy this is, Mike Socia.
Oh my gosh, man! I always call him my little angel because the reason I did that was because. I had Terry Collins on my side and the Angels, and everybody around Terry Collins said that I could have been up in the big leagues 2 years from when I was called up, right? Everybody. And the only one that didn't like me up in the major leagues was Terry Collins. So I was there, and no big leagues, no. And then the third year that I was there closer, he gets resigned. He resigned. So here comes Joe Madden. Two days later, he called me up. And then after that, Mike Socia gets in, calls me in the office, and he says, hey, listen, this is your team, and da-da-da, you got to do this. You have to pay attention to the bullpen. You have to pay attention to take care of your starters and da-da-da-da, right? So for me to get the opportunity, to play in a major league game and not only have a great career, because that was my first 6 years of 5 or 6 years in the big leagues, man. So for him to give it to me and put that trust in me, it meant the world to me. And plus, he took care of me, man. He talked to me. In between innings, he'll teach me. He gave me a graphic to help me out calling games. He's the one who made it all possible, in the big league. Obviously, you have to have the talent. You have to have the numbers. You have to, do all these things by yourself. But if it wasn't for him, I don't get the opportunity. If Terry Collins stays there, I might be a career AAA guy. So that's why I call him a little angel. That guy, it's a great person. I know he's going to find another job. We had a conversation, and for people that are listening, our conversation, I had to call you, Jimbo, remember yesterday?
Yeah.
I had to, because he said not everybody can throw the ninth inning. For people that are listening to our show and have a beef with you for it, not anybody can throw the ninth inning. That's what Mike Socia said, a guy who has won more than 1,600 games, okay? A very smart man said to you, not everybody can pitch the ninth inning. So, Jimbo, hey, man, that props to you, too. So, I mean, the guy meant the world to us. He knows our family, and, he's a very – and I know his family. So I just wish him the best, I wish him the best. Hopefully he gets another job because he needs to keep coaching so he can make a case for the Hall of Fame, man.
Yeah, I think most people really appreciated Mike Socia as a player. You never heard a lot of gruff about him as a manager. I know he was a respected guy. What we do know about sports and what we know about life is change is inevitable. Change comes. He was able to have a pretty nice long career with Anaheim, and again, or LA Anaheim, whatever. I know they went through name changes, but I would expect him to resurface. Good people involved in the game that have a lot of respect. Again, as I said, change is inevitable. Just because a guy is moved, I mean, there needs to be a new voice sometimes. There needs to be a new direction, and teams have to do that. They have to do what they have to do, and sometimes good people lose their job over it. And, some guys resurface. Some guys that don't deserve it resurface. That's the nature of that beast, because it's not as easy as everybody thinks it is. He's a guy that I would be shocked if he didn't resurface. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Look at Mike Matheny. Matheny is one of the nicest people you ever meet. If you meet Mike Matheny, he's one of the nicest people that will ever touch the ground, that will ever touch the earth. He's one of the nicest people. But in this case, they wanted to move on. He already had 7 years, I think. So what that means is that they wanted to move on from him. That doesn't mean he's a bad guy. In baseball, they wanted to move on, and that's what's happening with the Angels. They know how good this guy is, how good Mike Socha is, but they just want to move on with a new guy. That's all.
Yeah, and again, as most teams start evaluating what they need to do to, you know, let's face it, when a team, I would think any team, now, we know this really not to be true, but I would think any team that doesn't make the playoffs has to take a hard look and reevaluate where they are. I would say a franchise like the Cardinals, that hasn't made the playoffs in three seasons, you would think they would take a really hard look at what's going on because, you know, you hate to say it, but you know, the fans expect it, quite frankly. Look at Anaheim. They have some really good players. They have arguably the best player in the game. They have one of the best players to ever play in the game, although he's in the twilight of his career. They invested heavily in him. They went out this year and signed some guys to really fill those holes. A couple of them didn't work out. A couple of them did not work out. I mean, Zach Cozart, you know, I guess he was hurt most of the year and didn't give them what they thought there. They had some injuries and things like that. So they've got to reevaluate, right? They've got to reevaluate. Now, we also know that there are teams, and we can talk about this, and this is another conversation. There are teams that are out of it the day the season starts because of the way the league is structured right now. I don't know what those teams do in their postseason meetings because, they didn't really have a chance. And I don't care what anybody says. They didn't have a chance. So, but every team's got to handle it differently.
They just try to put a good enough team out there on the field that people can go. And say, oh, man, we have a shot. Oh, man, we got good. Oh, man, we can make it, man. We maybe make it. And that's what they want because they can get people in. I'm talking about the teams that you mentioned, right? The guys who have no chance. Dude, it is really sad that a major league team in Miami reached only 800,000 fans. Think about it, Jimbo. In St. Louis, it was 3.5 or 3.4 million fans that watched the game. Obviously, tickets sold. Let's say it how it is. It's tickets sold because we don't know exactly who went in there. But most of the times it was packed. I mean, I know that there's a few nights that it was empty. Less than what we expected. Yeah, that's fine. But 800 tickets sold. 800,000 tickets sold in Miami. That's embarrassing, man. That is crazy embarrassing for a major league team. That's how much we have to respect our fans. That's how much the Witts, the Mosalek, and the president, and the Gersh, you know, the GM, that's how much they have to appreciate their fans. 3.4 paid this year. And that's not without counting what happened in the ballpark village, too, because that's theirs. I mean, this is unbelievable fans. The fan base in St. Louis is probably already rated the best in baseball again. It's been for a lot of years. But just so you guys have an idea, the Angels, I watched like 25 to 30 Angels games. There was nobody at that stadium. Even though they reached 2.86 tickets sold, they reached that. It's okay and it's good, but the stadium was empty most of the time, man. That was horrible to watch. And you have Pujols making history all around. You have Mike Trout, the best player in the game right now. You have Upton. You have Ohtani, a new sensation, Ohtani in there, and they only got 2.8 season tickets sold. And if you watch the games, there was nobody there. So we have to be happy as a Cardinal fan. We have to be happy, but also the ownership has to pay attention to all these because They need to get people like all the Milwaukee Brewers did, and all those guys that are in the playoff. They all did, man. Look at Oakland. Go back at Oakland and look at the spring training roster and look at the roster they have right now. I mean, that's crazy. They only have like two or three guys that have been in the club since spring training. Maybe four guys. Other than that, everybody's coming from another organization. I mean, they've been traded. I'm not saying to do that, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
You know, if you need a trade for somebody, go get it, because you need it. You need to make these fans happy when these fans are giving you all they got in $3.5, $3.4 million. I mean, you have to keep them happy, man.
Yeah, you know, as I look at this year, as it's obviously come to a close, it did not end the way we wanted it to end. There are some things that are starting to come out that I just want to touch on today, and a couple of those things are: the first thing I'm going to say is this. I saw a tweet from the Kevin Wheeler show when he had Dexter Fowler, Kevin Wheeler said, I asked Dexter Fowler if there was any doubt that crept into his mind and if that's what happened. He said there was only one person in uniform who doubted him, and that's something he had to overcome. Now, I got to tell you that I get it. I understand, whatever. But I got to tell you, I completely disagree with that. And I don't give a shit if you liked Mike Matheny or not, to be quite frank. This guy had 250 at-bats and hit 170. Now, how are you going to blame that and say the manager
he can't do that.
I mean, he played you. He played you when you were terrible. I don't understand that. I was willing to say, hey, listen, it was a bad deal, whatever, I don't care. I've said it since day one. I didn't think Mike Matheny was going to win any manager of the years. I didn't think he was a particularly great manager. I didn't think he was the biggest problem. You're entitled to your opinion, okay? I think the roster construction is the number one problem. It's my opinion. You're not going to change that opinion. The Cardinals aren't going to change it, quite frankly, until they do something about it. So that's it. That's how I sit. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I was willing to almost say, the Dexter Fowler thing's not going away, so you might as well embrace it. And you might as well accept the fact, and everybody loves Mike Schilt, and he did this and he did that. I don't know what all you people are expecting, but I can promise you this. If Dexter Fowler wouldn't have been hurt, he was going to play. And you can say that was Mike Schilt. You can say that was Mo saying play him. I don't even care. It doesn't matter to me. But the bottom line is this. I was willing to say, he's going to play next year, so let's just see what happens, right? I got to tell you, I think that was a bullshit answer. That was a bullshit answer.
The bullshit answer is blaming somebody else.
Yeah.
Right?
How about saying I was terrible? How about saying, look, I hit 170? How about saying, look, I hit 170 for months. What do you expect? How about saying that? Instead of saying, well, I hit 170 because he didn't believe in me. Give me a break. Come on. I'm sorry.
Own your own struggle. Own it. Because nobody gets the bat and hit that for you. You did it, you know? And this is what I'm afraid of, too, Jimbo. I love Dexter Fowler. I think he's a great guy. But we're not talking about great guys. We're talking about performance here. So this is what I'm afraid of. That next year he's going to end up playing, man. After the team show you that they were in a great groove. Great groove when he wasn't in the lineup. He was up from the bench or he got hurt. But they were in a great groove. Unless he comes out and start killing it in spring training, that he opens your eyes and hits 500 out of the gate. You know, it's like, hey, man, Mike Schilt, I'm ready to go. And then he hits 500 in spring. And then you start in the season, he starts hitting 350 in the month of April, something like that. I don't know. You know, it would be hard not to play him. But the way the team had that little run without him, I mean, they have a big decision on them. Another guy that I really, really don't understand why they give him 4 years, middle relief, right? But why they give him 4 years beyond me to get lefties out, and all of a sudden this kid cannot get lefties out, man. I mean, we need one guy that can at least get those lefties out, because we face those divisions. And they all have those lefties at some point in the situation of the game, in the seventh, in the eighth inning, in the ninth inning at times. that we need to get those lefties out. I mean, I'm seriously, we can keep going on and on, but going back to Fowler, I think if the only reason he played next year is that he just tears it up in spring and keeps going hot. That's the only thing I can see. If not, he has to be in the bench and coming off the bench, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, Jimbo. I don't think Martinez is going to be in our team. I want him in my team. I would put him in my lineup every single day without even a question. Jose Martinez did this, okay?
Right.
But I think they're going to try to trade him to an American League team where he can play outfield, first base, and DH. And then they're going to get somebody out of him. But who's going to give you 80 RBIs? Think about it. 80 RBIs. Who's going to give you that 300 batting average from that spot? I want you to tell me, I mean, as a fan, right? Not you, but like as a fan, I want you, you're a fan. Tell me, who's going to give you 80 next year? Who's going to give you the homers 15 or whatever it was? And who's going to give you the 300 batting average? All year, Jimbo, all year. I'm not talking about a Matt Carpenter year, because everybody's giving love to Matt Carpenter, what great year he had and all that, like Kevin Wheeler and all those guys. They're giving him a great love to Matt Carpenter. And Matt Carpenter had 3 good months, maybe 4, right? Maybe 4. But 2 months of the season, he was missing in action, right?
Yeah.
So what, or more, maybe 2 or 3 months, maybe. He was missing in action. So how you give a guy props on 3 months of out of the whole year, and then you have a guy that's been hitting for most of the season, consistently, and you don't give him props. That's what I don't get.
Well, it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see what winds up going down, because as I mentioned earlier, I think change is inevitable. But then again, how do you change? I mean, what, like, they're kind of in a situation where, again, I would say this. I think the Cardinals understand that what they have is a hitter in Jose Martinez. There's no doubt in my mind that if they moved him, it wouldn't be because they don't think he can help them that route. I think we all understand why they'd move him. They'd move him because they feel like defensively he hurts them. Okay? But again, to your point,
he didn't hurt anybody defensively as much as somebody other guys hurt the team offensively.
Well, and that's the point, and that's where I'm going with this. You fall into a situation where you kind of are, to use the analogy, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean, and I've said this about going the other way before. People at times have wanted better defense, and I've said, I'll give you better defense, but you're already telling me we don't hit well enough. Well, if I give you some guy that's a defensive specialist, I can promise you he doesn't hit as good as the guys you have in here now making the errors. And that's where I come back to, I mean, the roster construction's got to be better. And again, people have wanted to dismiss this, okay, as what? They just think any guy can be a good defender if he just works at it. That's just not true. It's just not true.
If you're not a good defender, you're not going to be a good defender. You can get a little better, but you won't be a great defender by working at it. You can get better, but some guys are just not good in defense, and that's fine. But let me tell you this, Jimbo, about Jose Martinez. You can trade him. Like I said it before. I said it in the show. Trade him. Yeah, go ahead. Trade him because he can catch a ball, a bat throw at first base, right? He cannot pick it or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, trade him. That's fine. Get rid of him. Now bring me a guy that's going to hit more than 80 RBIs and 300 all year and 15 home runs. Now you do that, I'm happy. I'm okay. But if you're going to trade this guy over to whatever American League team is, or you want to trade him, and then you're going to bring a guy that hits 240 and he hits 3 home runs and he hits 40 RBIs or 30 RBIs, is that fair? Because he couldn't catch the bat throws? Come on, man.
Well, I'm gonna lay it right out there for you, okay? I'm gonna lay it right out there for you before we look at, I if If you tell me that you're going to replace Jose Martinez, you're going to move him because Dexter Fowler is going to play right field next year, I'm going to have to say, what the hell? Because it ain't like Dexter Fowler is a good defender. And that's what it'll be. Make no mistake about it.
A lot of people will say that.
Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, a lot of people will say that, Jimbo. Like, what the heck? Like, seriously? Like, what is the difference between these guys? Well, the difference is Martinez has 80 RBIs. The difference is Martinez has 15 home runs. The difference is Martinez hit 300 all year. All year. He was hot
for 2 years.
For the whole spring training, and now he's been hot. And then you're going to trade him away. That's why I said it. You can trade him for all those people that are complaining about the defense, you know? The guys who are saying, oh, man, that defense, that sucks, that he's not a good defender. All those people that had something against him, go, trade him. Trade him, and let's see what happens. Who are you going to bring out? You tell me who you're going to bring out. Now, if you go out and get a guy that does better than him and is a great defender and he does more than 80 RBIs and he hits 20 to 25 home runs, 300 guy, you won't hear me complain. But if you're going to do this trade thing because he's a bad defender, he couldn't catch the bat throws, and then bring a guy that's going to give you 40 RBIs or 50 RBIs and a guy who's going to get 10 home runs and a guy who's going to hit 240, 250, I think you're out of your mind. I think you're missing out the point.
You know, again, I will say this again. I'm going to support anybody that wears that jersey. I might have an opinion that I don't think they can do this or I don't think they can do that based on what I see or whatever, but I'm going to support them. I mean, it isn't going to matter because I want the Cardinals to win. But again, this is becoming insanity. And you can change the manager, and I'm okay with that, but as I said before, the manager hands the ball to the same guys in the bullpen. Okay, well, guess what? They changed the bullpen around, and it was going really, really well, and everybody said, see, Mike Schilt knows what he's doing. Well, what happened at the end of the year?
When the bullpen didn't start going good.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to say. Was it Mike Schilt's fault? No, it was not Mike Schilt's fault. Okay? It was not his fault, just like it. Listen, all managers make decisions that don't work. They all do. They all do it. See, that's another thing. As you watch center stage baseball, okay, you watch other teams do the exact same things that this Cardinal team has done. And if you want to open your mind, you will realize it's not because they're stupid. It's because they're dealing with things that you don't understand or don't know. I'm sorry. But when you're sitting there on your couch at home, just like I do, just like anybody does, I'm not saying you're stupid. I sit there just like you, and I go, I can't believe he's leaving him in here. Do you not think that he's not sitting there going, I wish I had a different option here, but there's a reason I don't? I mean, they're not dumb. These guys did not get there by being dumb. Okay, I would say this. Now, I'm not going to say all the time because they're human too, and they do use their gut sometimes. No doubt about it. You have to. But I'm going to tell you this. Let me finish this, and then you can say it. I would promise you this. 75% of the time when you're at home sitting there going, I don't understand this, there's a reason for it, I promise you. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, there's points to criticize the manager. But there's also points to criticize our job as a player. I took it very serious when I didn't get the guy over from third. I didn't blame the manager. I didn't say, oh, man, the manager got me off yesterday, so I'm kind of off and I couldn't get the job done. I'm sorry, man, but the manager should have played me. I didn't say that. I owned it. I said, you know what? I couldn't bring the guy out from third with less than two outs. It was my fault. There's spots for the players, and there's spots for the manager. We discussed this. When the manager, let's say you have Tyler Webb in the bullpen, he's pitching lights out, right, against lefties. And then all of a sudden you see Brett Sissel warming up, which has been struggling all year. So that you can discuss about Mike Chiles or a pinch hitter. Like Joe Maddon is considered a wizard in managing. The other day he pinch hit Hayward over Schwarber. Listen to this. He pinch hit with the bases loaded. He did Hayward over Schwarber. Now, that's a manager decision. Now, you go after the manager all you want for that, because that's a manager decision. And the lineup, it's the same way. That's a manager's and coach's decision. You go after the manager if you want. But when it's about talking about players' performance on the field, there's nothing the manager can do. Just get that out of your head. And if you hear Mike Socha, his video, when he was saying goodbye, what did he say? This game, it's all about the players. This game, it's all about the players. So let's get that in our head. Let's stop thinking not good. Let's start realizing what we are here for, what we're doing here, and what the manager needs to do. Don't blame the manager when the guy doesn't get the job done in the hitting or he strike out with the bases loaded. Oh, yeah, the manager did this. No. Let's be honest with ourselves here. There's some points for the manager, Jimbo, but those are not it, you know?
Sure, and like I said, to me, all right, it's going to come down to roster construction. That's going to be my question for you on this next part of the show is this, and I want you to think about this while I do the quick go through our stuff here. So the question is this: can we fix the problem by throwing money at it? Because there was an article in the paper that basically asked the Cardinal owner Bill DeWitt Jr. that question. I want to know if you think throwing money at it can fix this problem. Can we fix the problem with money? Meaning, can free agents, can trading for guys with big contracts, can money alone fix this problem and get us back in the playoffs? So think
about
that.
You want me to answer it right now?
No, nope, I want you to wait. I want you to wait to the other side. All right. So, again, hey, happy to have you guys be a part of the show as we are now entering the off-season portion of this show. I know a lot of fans love it when we get into this type of season because now we start playing with Monopoly money and we start doing this, and that's why I asked that question today. But we're hoping you stay with us through the off season, and again, we'll keep the show going on the same schedule as long as the listeners tell us they want it. So obviously you guys can find us. We're happy to have you guys be a part of what we're doing. Again, it means a lot to us that you guys are always with us from day one. TwoBirdsOnABat.com is where you can find us. Subscribe to the show. It's free. Again, you guys can do your Amazon shopping on there and help me with my wonderful producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen. Means a lot to us. If you subscribe, basically you get a notification on your mobile device when the show comes out. That will lead me into our social media stuff, which means everything to us. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. We're interested in what you have to say. Doesn't matter whether you agree with us or not. We're all fans and we all have opinions. Great. Let's have some fun with it. Facebook, guys, that's been our big push. You guys have answered that bell. We've really grown the show this year thanks to that, and we do want to send a shout out to you and thank you, but we're going to keep it going over the off season. So again, you find us on Facebook, simply type in Two Birds on a Bat, find our Facebook page. Once you get there, like the page, but you're not done. Click invite your friends, invite all of them to like the page as well, as we try to grow our community. Now, we do the shows on Mondays and Thursdays with Benji, Two Birds on a Bat. We also do the spinoff, Bow Ties and Bullshits, on Wednesday. And that's with Kyle Reese, Brendan Schaefer, and, of course, everybody's favorite, Mo's Algorithm. That show comes out on Wednesday. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Shows are usually out by 5 o'clock. What we're going to ask you to do is on Facebook, go to that post, like it, comment on it, and share it so that we can reach more people. We have wonderful prizes that we're drawing winners for. If you do all that stuff, we have interns doing it. Again, we'll announce some winners here coming up. We're getting to another one here where we have a bunch of people drawn, and we're going to give away an autographed baseball from a Cardinal player that we have some stuff kind of stashed away, and that's how we're going to grow it over the winter. So again, if you want to be eligible for that stuff, that's all you got to do. Like the pin post, comment on the pin post, and share it to your personal page so that we can reach more Cardinal fans. That's all you got to do. Very simple stuff. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Find us as part of lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Again, home to Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform, and we're happy to be associated with them and that wonderful product. All you do is go to the App Store on your mobile device, download it. It's free. We know you're going to love it. And again, we'd like to hear your thoughts on it as well. To all of our partners out there, thank you for your support this year. Adam Smokehouse, you've been tremendous. We love what you guys do. The barbecue, you guys have always been like the greatest host to us. We want to encourage everybody to keep it rolling over there with Adam Smokehouse as their business continues to grow. It's now open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. It's not just for lunch anymore, folks, or early dinner. You can now pick it up on your way home. That's Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. Tell my friend Mike we said hello. And again, I got to get over there and get that tri-tip sandwich going. Gators Baseball Academy has just kind of come on to be a part of our show just a couple months ago. And again, we're very impressed with their four-pillar system of creating a good person as much as a good baseball player. It means a lot to us to be associated with an organization that finds that the people they employ is just as important as the quality of the baseball. Again, they've kind of got all that going in the right direction. So if you want to find out if you've got what it takes, simply check out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Find out about a tryout. Find out about training. They've got all their academies going on right now. And again, no matter what you're looking for, I think they can fill your need. They would probably love the opportunity to talk to you about what they've got going and find out if it's a good fit for you. So again, that's Gators Baseball Academy. Not just Missouri anymore. They're also located in Illinois, and they're doing a tremendous job. We would highly encourage you to check them out. You guys heard me talk about innovativecompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They've got you covered, folks. They've got the plumbing team, the heating and cooling team, the electric team, and the construction team, of course. Randy's a man of his word, folks. If he tells you he's going to do something, he does it. And that's why we're proud to be associated with Randy Green, his wonderful daughter, Stephanie, and, of course, the whole gang at innovativecompanies.com. 35 years experience. He's a second-generation craftsman. And as I mentioned, more importantly, a man of his word. innovativecompanies.com. All right, Benji, my man, I asked you the question. Can we fix this problem? Can we get back in the playoffs by throwing around some money?
Heck yeah, we can, man. That's always the option. And let me tell you this. I'm going to throw you some names out there, and they're all going to cost a little extra money, right?
Right.
They're all going to cost extra money. That's why you say, with money, can we fix this, okay? Stay with me. Donaldson, Harper, Machado, Nelson Cruz, which it's hard because he needs the DH, right?
Right.
So,
but he can hit. But he can hit.
He can hit. But we don't want those guys. We don't want the guys who cannot play defense, right? We're trading them away, remember? So he's not out. But I just put it in there. Tyco, the guy from Houston, great pitcher. J.A. Happ, Markakis, Cody Allen, reliever, Kimbrough, reliever, Britton with the Yankees, A.J. Ramos, really good reliever, Andrew Miller, his free agent, Herrera, Familia, I would even take Familia in my team in the bullpen. He's really good. Grandal, well, that's for other conversation. That's the catcher. I had this for somebody else, but Patrick Corbin, but we have starters. Sean Kelly, which you saw from the Oakland A, he's gonna be a free agent. He's nasty. Joe Kelly, I threw the name out there just in case. And Eovaldi, but he's a starter and we have good starters. Did you get all those names? And I could give you more names too, Jimbo, because there's more free agency. I just picked the ones that are best options for the Cardinals, right?
Sure.
So those names right there, if you pay a little extra of maybe one or maybe two of those guys, two out of the bullpen and one guy for players, I mean, we could be fine. It's all in their heads. It's all in what they want to do. It's all in the Cardinals office. It's all in the Cardinals ownership organization. What they want to do, do they want to spend more money and bring guys that make a difference? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, yeah. So to answer your question, yes, the money can fix these problems. Heck yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I if you read the article, it was well done, I thought, as most of them typically are. Now, I will say this. for any Cardinal fan out there, you know, they're going to read, you know, the article that, you know, that he discusses, you know, Bill DeWitt being aggressive, and, you know, they start reading into it, right? We all become investigators like Criminal Minds, and we start taking a look at what was said in the article and what it truly means. And there's people already right now going, well, did you read that article? You know, it's obvious they're not going to spend any money. I mean, that was, once again, that's Bill DeWitt saying they're not going to spend any money, which is fine. I mean, again, I read the article, take what you want to get out of it. I will say this. Again, it's the same. It's basically the same article every year from Bill DeWitt. He's consistent, right, with how he views this thing. He's telling you, and I actually agree with him to some degree, throwing money at it doesn't guarantee you anything. Okay? What throwing money at
it. Give you,
that's right. It gives you a chance.
It gives you a better option.
That's right. Now, we come back full circle to what I said at the beginning. And I asked you this question. Maybe I should have worded it better. The question of can throwing money at it fix the problem? Of course it can. But does it guarantee it? No, it doesn't. And the reason I say that is this. People that want to say that the Cardinals are cheap are crazy. Do you guys, their payroll was $162 million last year. Now I'm going to give you, and I brought this up the other day, and I throw it out there very, very simply. We gave Greg Holland $14 million, and while I still thought it was a great signing that didn't work, but it was $14 million. Adam Wainwright made $19 million last year, and you really didn't get anything from him. Brett Cecil makes $7 million or $7.5 million or whatever, and you really got you've gotten absolutely nothing from him. Luke Gregerson made $5 million, nothing. Okay? It's how you spend your money. It's how you spend your money. And I'm telling you right now, and this is what I've always said. I'll never understand spending money on what I call guys that can be replaced by in-house options. And instead of spending a whole bunch of money on a guy that you clearly do not have an in-house option for, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Josh Donaldson, you do not have an in-house option like that guy. But I would beg to differ that you couldn't have replaced Luke Gregerson, you couldn't have replaced some of these other guys by in-house options and rolled the dice. And again, if you had a budget set and you said, well, you know what, we wound up not doing what we thought we were going to do, let's go get Greg Holland, let's do this, let's do that, that's fine. And again, I didn't even mind, I liked the move at the time. But if you're willing to spend that kind of money, gosh darn it, there are guys out there that can really help you. And again, I'm not going to... Go ahead.
My biggest fear, Jimbo.
Yeah.
My Benji Molina's biggest fear. You can put it this way if you want. It's true. My biggest fear is those 3.5 million tickets sold back them up from getting guys because they're making money, man. When you have 3.5 million tickets sold and you have the ballpark village packed up every single day, every single game. You make them good money. So $162 million, the budget, that if you really see it how I see it, that's not much. That's not much. That's a lot of money, of course, but that's not much, man. That's for a budget. They could do whatever they can. They could do whatever they want. If they want to really make the change, all those names that I tell you, there's a couple names there. Very attractive to a bullpen, man. To a bullpen. To your bullpen that's going to make you your team better. That's my biggest fear, that they don't care about. It's not about they don't care. They do care. I'm just saying, like, they don't go after because they still going to make 3.5, 3.4 million fans. So they don't have to go get that guy. But if those numbers are 2.1 or 2 million fans pay tickets, they're going to go out there and do something about it. But for now, my biggest fear is that they don't go out and do anything because they're making good money. Like Mosalek said, I'm here to make money for the Cardinals, for the DeWitt. And he's doing it, man. He's doing it. He has a 160-some payroll, million payroll, and you have 3.5 million fans. Come on, with the with the other stuff in the back. Come on, man. You can't go wrong with that. That's my biggest fear, that they don't go out there and do nothing and then wait another year to make more money. They need to do something. They need to put a star out there, another star out there on the field. They need it. They need a good defender and a good hitter, and they're out there right now. And they need two bullpen guys. Here we go again, Jimbo. People are going to say, man, this guy, with his bullpen. Well, if we had two extra guys in that bullpen, we would have probably won 10 more games. Yeah. I mean, seriously, think about it. So I don't mind getting my payroll to 170 or 180 when I know I can make a playoff, man. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's my biggest fear, is that they don't do it and they keep getting paid good money, but they don't do anything for the team. You know what I'm saying? In the offseason.
Well, obviously they have some money coming off the books. They have raises to take into account. There's all kinds of things going on. You would expect some sort of roster changes and all that kind of stuff. What they do, ultimately, I don't have any idea. I'm going to say, like I always say, to me, you can look at this a thousand different ways, but the reality of it is this. They have never, ever, ever not I mean, they have never been in a situation where Manny Machado doesn't make more sense for them than it does right at this moment. And again, right away, I know people right now are going, oh, here he goes again. We're not signing Manny, Jim. Stop it. Listen, you're probably right. See, that's the beautiful thing about this. And you can say and do whatever you want to do. It's easy for you to say that because the odds are that you're right. It doesn't change the fact that I also am right in the fact that they need to do this. I'm not saying they will. See, there's the difference. I've never once said they're going to do anything. What I'm telling you is that it makes so much sense. They need an iconic player. And let me tell you this, and Benji's right, no doubt about it. And we've seen it, right? Like, if you're already making all this money and you're just getting by, why would you spend more money? Well, now, I will say this, though. Good business people, okay, and again, this is where Bill DeWitt's coming from, and this is the part that nobody wants to hear, okay? They make business decisions, and he does think 3, 4, 5 years away. He's not thinking about, well, I need to do this today, but it's going to hurt me. He thinks we want to have sustained success, okay? So that being said, though, I want you to think about this. If you're a business person and you're looking at your business model, the ones that are really, really good in business are the ones who see an issue coming before it becomes an issue. Why in the world would anybody say, well, you know what, when our attendance drops down to two, as Benji mentioned, well, you know what, when our attendance drops down to 2.5 million, then we'll deal with it. Okay, so now what are you going to do? Now you're going to throw money at a problem that doesn't guarantee you any success, but yet you hope that it works instead of just doing it now and building your sustained success? Doesn't make any sense to me. That's like going into business and saying, well, things are going really good right now, although I know that, you know what, it's kind of a false positive, which is really what they have going on right now, because they've got a disgruntled fan base that still goes to the stadium on the whole because they love baseball. But I'll tell you this right now, if you think for 1 minute that it's going to continue, listen, history repeats itself, folks. If you were around here in the 70s, if you were around here in the late 80s and early 90s, for all of you that think that the Cardinals are guaranteed to sell 3 million tickets every year, you're as crazy as they are if they think that. Because I'm telling you, it doesn't take long. And I'm going to say this. Their roster is dangerously close to getting to that situation right there. The other thing that falls into this, it's not just our roster. Look at the roster of the teams we're chasing. Those teams have committed to making theirs better. So now how do you answer that?
And they're committed with the money, not only with the players, because you need the money to acquire the players, but they are committed with the money and the players because they're not afraid of making trades. They're not afraid of getting a guy. Milwaukee, how many guys Milwaukee got, Jimbo? I don't know if you have it there, but I think it was 4 guys.
It was quite a bit.
The Cubs got 4 guys or more. I mean, they are all in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? The guys who got less guys was Colorado. I think they got 1 or 2. And they're still in the playoff, but who do we get in the trade deadline? You tell me. Matt Adams. Matt Adams we got. I love Matt Adams. He's my boy. But Matt Adams was brought up to be in the bench and a pinch hitter. That's not what we're talking about here. Those guys that went to Milwaukee, those guys that went to Chicago Cubs, they didn't go to be in the bench player or a pinch hitter. They went after the play to be part of the playoff. That's what they went after for. That's what I mean. We need. I've been saying it, man. I can get tired of it. I'm sorry, but I keep saying it, but it's so true. If they're really smart with this thing, they go get two bullpens, get rid of a couple guys because they haven't done and performed how they want it, of course. So they go out and find that two bullpen guys are going to make a difference, man. Don't you want to make a difference? If you're the DeWitts, if you're the Mosalek, don't you want to make a difference? Don't you want to see your team and say, hey, listen, we are a couple guys away from going to a playoff and deep in a playoff. Why not get in them? That's why I always tell Yadi, it's like me and Yadi, we discuss baseball a lot. We don't discuss the moves, but we discuss baseball. It's like if you need somebody like the Cubs, they needed a starter to push him up to the playoff because St. Louis was pushing them because Milwaukee was right behind their butt. What did they do? They got Cole Hamels. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you need it, why not getting it? Why not going out there and getting it and stay the same? Okay, I believe in these guys. I believe in this group. Well, this group might need a little help. They might need a little help. So you can be in the playoffs, man. It makes a difference. But it's up to them, Jimbo.
It is up to them, and we'll see what they do. Again, it's, you know, right now what we're going to go through, obviously, is playoff baseball, and as Cardinal fans, we're going to have to sit here and watch other teams compete in October. And the conversations will start with us about what do we do. I know, and again, this is why I love Cardinal fans. There's a large base of Cardinal fans right now out there that are scribbling down. Some of them are writing down names, as you were saying them earlier, and doing this and doing that. The truth of the matter is this, when it comes right down to it. That'll get hot and heavy after the playoffs because it'll be a focus, right? Whereas right now it's playoff. But that's what I love about it is people are going to start looking at this and start coming up with their own ways to improve this team. The ultimate thing here, though, is that the Cardinals have to do that. And I think they do. And then they weigh this versus that, and how do we do this, and how do we do that? I think, listen, they do that. It just doesn't always jive with what we think, and they have their reasons. Now, the problem is, at the end of the day, and folks need to remember this, you brought it up, I've brought it up numerous times, the one thing that goes into this that we don't care about as fans is it's a business decision for them. And a lot
let's tell the fans this, Jimbo, because we're against the a little bit against, we're throwing everything against our organization and the ownership and everything. But when these guys as an organization like Mo and Gersh, when they sign somebody, they don't sign him to fail. When they sign 4-year deal to Brett Cecil, they don't want Brett Cecil to fail. No. They sign him because they think they can help the team. They sign Greg Holland because they thought they could help the team. So they go out and sign Luke Gregerson because they thought they could be helpful for the team. So when they sign somebody, they're signing somebody to because they believe it can make a difference on your team. They're not signing it just for the heck of it. So you got to give credit to the office for doing that. You got to give them credit for going out and signing people, okay? We give them credit, but sometimes it's the wrong people. I get it, but you have to give them credit because they go out and sign all these guys. They just haven't performed, like Fowler. They go out and sign Fowler. Do you think they signed Fowler 5-year deal to be what he is right now? I don't think so. I think they designed him to tell him, hey, listen, we need you to be our leadoff guy. We need you to be the second batter, whatever it is. We need you to be the same guy that you were with the Cubs. That's what they signed him for. Did it work out? It didn't work out. It haven't worked out. But that's not the office's fault. We have to be honest here, man. We have to be honest. The office is always trying to find ways. The players, do they perform or they don't? That's very simple.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. I think there's things I think change is inevitable. There's no doubt about that. There is change inevitable. How big a change? Well, only the Cardinals know. I'd like to see them be aggressive. I do think they can spend money wisely because
they need to be aggressive, Jimbo.
And it's not.
We said it last year. Remember?
Yep.
We said it last year. This year, oh my gosh, it's double the pressure. They need to be aggressive into a freaking into the reliever spots and stuff.
Honest to God, there is a way to spend this money and it be a win-win for the St. Louis Cardinals. And again, we're going to talk about that all season. I mean, that's what it's going to be. This is how it's going to be, and we will see. Again, I've got my opinions, and we're going to break it down over the course of the offseason because, really, quite frankly, that's all we have. So I'm looking forward to it, my man. I appreciate you joining the show as you do each Monday and Thursday. And for all of our fans out there, we want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check us out. TwoBirdsOnABat.com is the website. Don't forget Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We love it. We want you guys to be a part of it. Find us on Twitter, at BirdsOnABatShow. You like us, we're going to follow you back on Twitter. Our big ask, though, of course, is Facebook. Find it, Two Birds on a Bat. Type it in, like our page, click invite your friends, do that as well. Find our pinned post, like them, comment on them, and share and be eligible for some of the wonderful prizes that we have. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Please follow us there. Happy to be a part of lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet, but now home to Yo Radio, the great streaming platform. We would ask you guys to download that on your mobile device. We know that you'll enjoy it. It's a great streaming platform. You will love it. I promise you. Leave them a review. They've worked really hard on it and would love to know what you think. To all of our partners out there, once again, thank you. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. If you're looking for something new for your player, check them out. Located in Missouri, also located in Illinois now. Their four-pillar system is what separates them from other organizations. Check it out. We know that you'll enjoy it. They make a lot of sense over there, folks, and if I was looking at something right now, I'd be looking at them. So check it out. I know that people mean the most to them, and if you're interested in the same thing, that's your destination, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Mike over at Adam's Smokehouse, get over to Watson Road, get your barbecue. We know that you'll love it. Second to none. Again, I love it. I love it too much, really, is the problem. But Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays now open till 7. Get it on your way home from work. Enjoy your barbecue. Nice crisp air. Have some nice warm barbecue and enjoy the evening. That's Adam's Smokehouse on Watson Road. Again, Randy Green, thank you for your continued support. You're a good man. We love having you a part of our group here. Your integrity, the fact that you are still that old school man of your word, and if you shake somebody's hand, it still means something to you. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green's your man. Learn more about him at innovatedcompanies.com. To all of our listeners out there, I want to say thank you to all the Facebook groups that were instrumental in our growth this year. Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com. I'm still running that Rally Squirrel Club. If you want to learn more about that, check it out at RallySquirrel.com. Again, the guy is great, great, great for Cardinal fans everywhere. Mick Light, Art City Media, thank you for your continued support. We always see the bump when you share the show. It means a lot to us. To Chris Lawless at Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, know that we're always thinking about you and your fiance. Again, a wonderful moderator when it comes to Cardinal baseball and fandom everywhere. A voice of reason sometimes that loves the Cardinals just as much as you or I do. What he does means so much to him, and we love him for it, and we thank him. Ron, Team of Rivals podcast, just another of the long list of great guys that are involved in this wonderful fandom of Cardinal baseball. To all the great Facebook groups out there, St. Louis Cardinal Freak, thank you so much for your continued support. STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals crew, loving fans of Yadier Molina Facebook group. What an awesome group. Cardinals Country, Baseball Heaven, Cardinals Fans versus Cardinal Haters, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, St. Louis Baseball Cardinals. There are so many great groups out there. You'll never be short for Cardinals fun if you want to be involved in it. Again, for everybody here at Two Birds on a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.